The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, July 8, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The DOJ seizes the phone and email records of a New York Times reporter. Also on the Friday rundown, a delegation from Tennessee meets with national lawmakers on ICE raids, a report on how to deal with unwanted firearms, and Saturday marks National Get Outdoors Day. First, our top story, federal law enforcement officials secretly seized years' worth of a New York Times reporter's phone and email records this year in an investigation of classified information leaks. The New York Times reports it was the first known instance of the Justice Department going after a reporter's data under President Trump. The Times notes the seizure disclosed in a letter to the reporter, Ali Watkins, suggested prosecutors under the Trump administration will continue the aggressive tactics employed under President Barack Obama. Immigration and Customs Enforcement raids that took place in Tennessee this spring continue to have an impact on the individuals involved as well as their communities. Stephanie Carson explains.
It's a reality that leaders and immigrant advocates want to make sure members of Congress understand. And on Thursday, several of them traveled to Washington to meet with Congressman Steve Cohen of Memphis and others. Jasmine Nazareth with the Fair Immigration Reform Movement says as the Trump administration steps up ICE raids, it's important for leaders to remember there are human beings involved.
We're all human. We all do what's best for our families. And if that means that we move to a new city or a new state to provide our families the opportunities that they deserve, that's what any parent would do for their kid. And these folks, that's what they've done.
Last year, DHS announced it would quadruple worksite enforcement. The April 5th raid was the largest in a decade, arresting 97 people at a meat processing plant. Nazareth says many of those taken into custody remained in bloodstained garments for an extended period of time.
The Trump administration insists the raids are necessary to enforce immigration law and maintain the safety of communities. CNBC reports President Trump took more jabs at Canada and France on the eve of the G7 summit. In a tweet, he accused U.S. allies of levying massive tariffs and creating non-monetary barriers. French President Emmanuel Macron, in a tweet, threatened to exclude the U.S. from a joint statement issued every year at the G7 summit. Macron said the American president may not mind being isolated, but neither do we mind signing a six-country agreement if need be. Pennsylvania is near the bottom in per capita funding for higher education, but a bill now in the General Assembly would change that.
If passed, the bill, called PA Promise, would eliminate college tuition and fees for recent high school graduates from families with incomes of $110,000 a year or less. The bill is based largely on a report released in January by the Keystone Research Center. According to Mark Price, co-author of that report, in the global economy, access to higher education is crucial.
It is absolutely about making Pennsylvania a place where an employer wants to locate and can locate because they can see that they have a pool of highly trained, highly skilled workers from which to draw.
Right now, in more than half of Pennsylvania counties, the share of adults with more than a high school diploma is lower than in any of the other 49 states. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
The bill does not include a revenue stream to pay the estimated $1 billion annual cost, but bill sponsors suggest that could be covered by instituting a gas severance tax. There's a gun for almost every American in the nation. What happens to the guns nobody wants? We get some answers from Eric Tigetoff.
Bruce Seiler, president of the center and a former Secret Service employee, says his organization has options for these guns. First, they encourage people who are selling them to do so through a federally licensed dealer. If they don't want to sell, Seiler assesses them for historical value, considers if they could be repurposed for law enforcement, or destroys them. He says with 300 million guns in the country, we need to start getting rid of some.
My vision is to provide a junkyard in America for firearms. There's a lot of junk out there. We don't need to save every tennis racket or old ski or old gun.
Seiler is concerned with the number of gun sales performed without background checks, estimated at about 1 out of every 5 sales. He says the center wants to prevent guns from ending up at yard sales or in newspaper ads. Montana also is one of 12 states where police aren't allowed to destroy guns. Seiler says that's led to police departments bulging with unused firearms.
Many of the clients coming to the center have inherited guns they don't want. Seiler says they aren't hunters and just don't have a use for them.
And finally, Roz Brown tells us the recreation industry, federal agencies, and nonprofit organizations have teamed up to host tomorrow's annual National Get Outdoors Day, encouraging American families to participate in traditional and non-traditional outdoor activities.
One goal of the day is to reach underserved populations and first-time visitors to public lands. In recent years, many of those first-time visitors to the state have been from China, according to Tourism Secretary Jim Hagan. He says South Dakota was recently named most promising destination in the U.S. by a tourism group that partners with the China Travel Service Association.
In this state, we do have the national parks and the memorials like Crazy Horse Memorial or Mount Rushmore National Memorial, the Native American culture and the Old West culture that is really appealing to the Chinese visitor.
By the way, since South Dakota's landscape is relatively flat, it's a great state for long-distance bicycling. Last year, the state saw nearly 14 million visitors who spent nearly $4 billion. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.